Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into today's message. Father, we thank you with all of our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
We give you praise and honor. We open our hearts. We open our minds for revelation from heaven, and we thank you for it. And we give you all the praise and all of the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me in welcoming Rabbi Jonathan Kahn to this broadcast?
Great to be here, sir. Great to be here.
I am so glad you're finally here. Amen. Yeah. I've been looking forward to this since the first day I read about half a chapter of the Harbinger. And I don't think I sat down a solid until I finished the whole book. And I'm like 3 or 4 million other people that are in this same place.
Thank you.
I am so blessed that you are here, sir.
I am blessed to be here. I know it's been a long time in the making, but I'm blessed and amazing what the Lord is doing.
Let's talk about the Harbingers. Like I said, at the very outset of that book, so anointed it. You know, I'm like millions of others. It just kind of reached out there and said, "Come here, Kenneth." I was just so taken by it, and still am. I've been meditating on it and studying it now for a long time. And as you and I were talking just before before we went on the air, the dominating power of the Word of the Living God, the timing, just so exquisite, is
exactly
what first really took me in where the Harbingers are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But the next thing that just expanded was the patience of God and the grace of God.
Yes.
I've believed this for years, and I've had people think I'm kind of crazy, but judgment is a process of seed time and harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so merciful of God. If he just didn't do anything, it'd be, it would just devastate everything. And and he steps in to keep that from happening.
That's right. Yeah, even in judgment is his mercy. I mean, our faith is centered on the cross, which is judgment and mercy at the same time. You can't have mercy without judgment. And the other thing is that, exactly, you know, people ask about America and they say, well, you know, if shaking's coming, is that a scary thing? I'd say it's the opposite. If nothing happens, if it just keeps going, if the culture goes as it's going, that's scarier.
Yeah.
You know, it's the mercy of God that, you know, because he's against evil, but he's for. And so he always, not only that, he always warns before, and he always calls out. And even in this, it's exactly that. It's a process, because even in the last days of Israel, he shook them, but then he kept calling them, shook them, called them, gave them time, gave them more time. You know, his heart is mercy. You know, his necessity is to deal with evil, but his heart is mercy. That's the cross, and
that's
exactly
good.
It.
That is really good.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And yeah, and so the Harbinger is a 2,500-year-old mystery from the Bible that literally lies behind everything from 9/11 to the economy, to what's happening, to what has been, what is coming. I didn't look for it, Brother Copeland. I wasn't looking for a revelation. It happened where, you know, located by New York City in Ground Zero. And nor did I plan to write a book. And then when it finally happened, literally, I know we'll get it, the book just wrote itself. So I was kind of like an observer, you know. So the ultimate point is that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same God of the Bible is the same God now. And he moves, and he's consistent with his word. He's consistent with his pattern. And the same God who warned and called to Israel is calling to us now. That's the ultimate thing behind the Harbinger.
That is big.
Yeah.
That's big in me, and it's just getting bigger and bigger, that his purpose is not just to not just to save us in the slightest, could just barely miss destruction. His purpose is to outpour himself in this last time that overwhelms all that the devil's done for all of these centuries.
Absolutely. You know, when people look at the end times, they often only focus on one part, and they focus on the dark, and the love of many shall grow cold. But it also says that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. The gospel shall be proclaimed to all nations, and the lights of God will shine. So absolutely, the end game, if you can call it that, is revival. That's the heart of God.
That's his heart, isn't it?
Always.
Always what he's after.
Always. And most of us, I know I can speak for myself, did not come to the Lord unless there was some shaking. I came to the Lord because I was shaken. I was an atheist. The last thing I wanted as a Jewish man, a young man, it was the Lord. I didn't want it. But the Lord shook me. He caused a train to hit me. And that is how I got saved. So I thank God for the train. I thank God for the train, because without that, so most of us come to the Lord through shaking. But the it's the end purpose. That is what God's all about.
Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, get us in there. Okay. I'm so excited about this.
Yeah, well, first of all, we start with ancient Israel. And ancient Israel is a nation that God himself ordained, God himself founded on the word of God, founded on the covenant. And in that, they were blessed. But when they turned away from God, when they turned away from his word, what was to be a blessing is removed. And it turns into warning. They started driving God out of their culture, out of their public square. They started bringing in other gods, Baal, Moloch. You know, they began to call what was evil good and what was good evil. They were persecuting the people of God, persecuting the prophets of God. You know, this is the times of Elijah. This is the Northern Kingdom, which fell first. They promoted immorality, and they even offered their children as sacrifices to Baal and Moloch. That's how bad it got. And so, I mean, you know, the Lord is merciful and he's long-suffering, but you cannot mock him. And his word is real, and he's real. So he warned them. He sent prophets to them, it says, but they didn't listen to the prophets. They hardened their hearts. And so finally he allows something to happen, which is a classic pattern of judgment. And then what he did is he allowed the nation to be shaken. He allowed the hedge of protection to be lifted up temporarily to allow an enemy to come in temporarily to shake them. The purpose was, as we were taught, was mercy. The purpose was so that they would not be destroyed.
Well, he sent his word first.
Yeah.
Oh, and they paid no attention to that at all.
It says they mocked. I mean, if you look at the biblical record, this is over centuries he sent his word. I mean, he sent Isaiah, sent Micah, over to them, and again, Hosea, Amos, you know, he sends them, but they mock them. They mock them. And so only as a last resort is he finally allows this to happen. And even then, the purpose is mercy. Even then, the purpose is, listen, he's saying, wake up, because if you don't, you're heading to destruction. And so it was to save them from what was coming. So this happens in the year 732 BC, when the Assyrian Empire comes in, the hedge is lifted up, and they wreak havoc in Israel, and the nation is shaken. But instead of returning to God in repentance, instead of coming back, which is the purpose, they respond with defiance. And I mean, these are hardened people. They defy, and the prophet Isaiah, who's in the south, he records what they said. And this is the key verse with a harbinger, and this is what begins it. Isaiah 9:10, you know, people know Isaiah 9, Brother Copeland, for the Christmas part, because it's unto us a child shall be born, all that's there. And but then it goes on, and this is what it says. Isaiah 9, verse 8 says this, the Lord sends a word to Jacob, and it has fallen on Israel, and all the people will know it, Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, who say in the pride and arrogance of heart, and here's the thing, the bricks have fallen, talking about the attack, but we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores have been cut down, but we will replace them, or we will plant cedars in their place. Now, if you just looked at this, you'd say, wow. If you didn't look at the context, you'd say, well, hey, this is a great thing. It's about encouragement. No, it's not. What God is saying is the people who were being woken up by God, instead of responding with repentance, they respond with defiance, saying, God, you're not going to humble us. You're not going to make us come back to you. We're going to come back stronger without you.
Yeah.
We're going to, the bricks fell. We're going to take bigger stones and we're going to put them and we're going to build higher and bigger.
We're going to do it.
We're going to do it on our own strength without you, and we're going to continue going this way. So that's the first thing. And then they say, no, the sycamores fell, but we're going to take another tree, stronger, and plant it to show you we cannot be stopped. We're coming back stronger than ever. And so it's a prophecy within it. And these are, from this come the nine harbingers, from this vow that brought judgment. And as they did, if you go on for the rest of the chapter, it goes on saying, okay, because they did this in arrogance, now will come this, now will come this, now will come this. So there are nine harbingers or nine prophetic signs that appear in the last days of Israel based on this, and they ignore them and they head to judgment. Well, the eerie thing, the stunning thing, and how true God is, the amazing thing, is those same nine harbingers of judgment warning the people, warning a nation in danger of judgment, have now reappeared on American soil. Some have appeared in New York City, around where we are. Some have appeared in Washington, D.C. Some have involved American leaders, even the President of the United States, just as it involved the leaders back then. Some have involved objects, but they have, you know, we talk about the power of the word. Yeah. They have reappeared with specific fulfillment, with people who don't even know what they're doing. They don't even realize they're reenacting this, but it's because God is sovereign and God is above all these things. They reenact all these harmonies. All the nine harbingers have reappeared to America. Now the context here is this. What's the link? America, you know, I've said that, you know, there's two nations which have been founded solely on the word of God. Yeah. One was Israel. The other is America. The Puritans founded this nation, founded this civilization. They dedicated it to God. They said, we're in covenant with God. They said, and they, even John Winthrop, you know, you get the famous City on the Hill. And it, you know, people say, well, that's what he did. But people don't read the next part. He said, if we follow God, we will be as a city on a hill. All eyes are upon us. We'll be the most blessed nation as Israel was blessed. But he said, if we turn away from God, then the same judgment that came on Israel will come here on us. Well, that's what he said. Well, America, as much as it followed God, was the most blessed nation on earth. I mean, used of God, mightily of God, as much as it followed, as much as it said the gospel, sent the gospel to the world, also was a haven for the Jewish people. God gives a promise on that. So we've become the most blessed nation, but in our blessings, as with Israel, we made the same mistake the culture has, turning away from the God of its foundation. And instead, in driving him out of the school system, driving him out of the culture, driving him out of the public square, driving him out of government, saying you can't even say the name, taking the Ten Commandments down. That's pretty much what Israel did. All these things. And in the same way, we have also called what is evil good and what is good evil, just like the prophet said. And we have also, people say, well, Israel offered up their children on the altars of Baal and Molech. Well, we have killed over 55 million children. I mean, how do you come? I mean, and you know, God is not mocked, and God, and that's the sin that, you know, Jeremiah goes out to the gate, and he has a jar, and he smashes it and says, in front of the field where they killed their children, he said, because you did this, you know, there's blood on your hands. And so God, again, is merciful, long-suffering, but he's not mocked. And he, in the end, his word comes true. So here in the same way, the harbingers begin appearing to America. And the first harbinger, the classic sign of the warning of God in the Bible, not only happens with the northern kingdom, it happened with the southern kingdom, that years before judgment, what happens, there's a warning sign. God temporarily lifts up the hedge of protection, that a shaking comes to bring the nation back, to wake up the nation to come. Mm-hmm. And America's hedge of protection was lifted up, the breach, it's called, the first harbinger. On September 11th, the Lord allowed, an attack comes to shake, to wake up. And if you remember, Brother Copeland, people from all over America were flocking to churches. I mean, flocking. And in fact, I've never seen anything like it. Most of us thought, well, there's going to be revival. Well, there wasn't a revival because, I mean, among the nation, because there was no repentance. And if without repentance, you don't have revival.
They just got mad.
They got mad.
Yeah.
They said, God bless America. God bless America. Great. But it was about America blessing God. You know, God said, you know, if you don't change your course, you don't change your destiny. You know, if you don't change where you're going, you have the outcome. So what happened is the culture, instead of growing closer to God, grew farther from God. Look where we are now. This is after 9/11. So now the eerie thing or the Or the, you know, as we say, you talk about the dominating power, is that all these harbingers begin to appear, warning. First one is that breach. Okay, but then what happens is American leaders start responding the same way the leaders of ancient Israel responded, the same way. And it starts one after the other. For instance, the second harbinger in the book is, it's called the terrorist. Now, people don't realize terrorism, actually all terrorists in the Bible, they all come from one people. And you can read in the history books. They come from a people who are mentioned in the Bible. And those are the Assyrians. The Assyrians were the first terrorists.
I learned that from you.
It's absolutely, they.
That's an eye-opening thing, too. When you go back, like that just turned me to that, to know what was behind all.
Yeah.
It is such an eye-opener. Yeah. The same thing from the same people.
Same people. And they're in the Bible, and they're mentioned by the prophets, and every terrorist, doesn't matter, has traced themselves from Assyria. The Assyrians invented terror. And terrorism, meaning to use terror to make people do what you want or to terrorize the people so you can do it. Now, the Assyrians are horrible people. I mean, I'm not talking about the modern Assyrians, but the ancient Assyrians, what they did was they used terror. They would, so much so that when they would come to a city, the city would just surrender without any fight because of the terrorism. They're the same people, Brother Copeland, that when you read Isaiah or you read about Hezekiah, when he's in the city of Jerusalem and they're surrounded and they're taunting him, saying, we're going to destroy you, they're the Assyrians. And they're saying, nobody stands before us. What they're using is psychological warfare and terrorism. So, but Isaiah says, no, we're going to trust in the Lord. And an angel comes down and that's it. So, but the thing is that, so they are the ones behind, in Isaiah 9:10, they were the ones who went into the nation and made this strike of terror on the land. This one strike, and then it was over. Well, here's the thing. 9/11 wasn't just an attack. It was a strike of terror, number one. Number two, the people of 9/11, they came from the Middle East, the same place as the ancient Assyrians. In fact, something that, you know, they come from that same region. And, you know, when the Assyrians were carrying out this attack on the land, they were speaking Akkadian. That's their language. Akkadian is dead. But there's one language in the world today that is the equivalent of Akkadian, the sister language, that's Arabic. The same language of the attack of the Assyrians was the same language that carried out 9/11, the ancient Assyrians. Wow. And then we are brought into where, you know, America was drawn into this conflict in Iraq because through 9/11. Iraq is ancient Assyria. It's the same land of the Assyrians. When the soldiers were walking in, American soldiers, they were passing descendants of the Assyrians who brought Isaiah 9:10. That same thing. You know, in fact, Mosul, which is one of the places which was the theater of war, is ancient Nineveh. This is the capital of Assyria. That's behind Isaiah 9:10. Same people, same everything. So you have even that replaying in the 21st century. I mean, how consistent this is. The next harbinger, I'm only doing it quick, but you know, the next harbinger, it says, the bricks have fallen, they said. The bricks have fallen. Well, the sign of the attack, the sign of this was literally the ruin heaps. When they looked around, their buildings had been destroyed. The collapse of buildings was the sign of what happened then. They looked at the ruin heaps and that's what they saw. So the bricks have fallen, meaning buildings were falling. The key sign of 9/11 was the exact sign of the harbinger. The falling of great buildings, the falling
that really marked that attack, didn't it?
Absolutely.
That's what stunned everybody was to see those towers just fall in on themselves.
The bricks have fallen, the exact sign. And even in then the ruins of 9/11, in those ruins were actually literally bricks. And I'll share something I've not shared because it just was this weekend. Turns out, I'm going to share about another scripture that was found in Ground Zero as we do it. But there was another scripture that was found in Ground Zero, and I was just looking at it this weekend. It was fused to the metal. And you know what it was? It had words from the Sermon on the Mount on it, but the key words, the last words there, was when Messiah, Jesus, talks about the collapse of a building. And it was right there in Ground Zero. He says, he talks about the building that was not built on the Word of God, on the rock. And so it says the storm came and it fell, it collapsed, and great was its fall. That was the scripture. That was in Ground Zero, fused to the ruins.
Oh,
I just looked it over. It was just this weekend, so nobody's heard. But absolutely, the Word of God. I mean, in all things. Now, so every single thing, and it's not that we're going to see, it's going to get even more eerie or amazing, but we're going to see leaders of America reenacting without realizing what they're doing. And it's not that anybody is trying to make these things happen. Nobody is. And you're going to see also that the leaders don't even know what they're doing.
No, they have no idea.
Yet you're going to see them pronounce this word on America as it was in ancient Israel. We're going to see even the President of the United States do it. I mean, it's going to happen all over because God is sovereign and because God is merciful and He does not act without warning and without calling us back.
Oh, my.
And we've just done three. We've just done three.
That, the timing of it, well, when it's simple to understand when you stand back and look at it. Here's the nation of Israel. Here is the United States. And God established both. They're both under the same mandate because they were created by the Creator. Mm. And so both judgments and both activities are exactly the same.
Yes.
Does that let us know what's in God's heart or not?
Yes.
I mean, that lets us know what He had in mind when He established the United States. He doesn't see two, He sees one.
To be a light to the world. To be a light to the world. And God, it's the same God is alive. The same God is well. The same God is on the throne, no matter what. You know, Americans say we're not under God. We're still under
God.
Oh,
yes, we are.
Still, God is there.
Yes,
God is real. God is awesome.
Praise God. I'll tell you what, I'm already so excited I can hardly sit in this chair. So, hallelujah. Praise God. We'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.